Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Peter.
And my name is Ashton.
Ben's got diarrhea.
He's got the plot.
He's not necessarily got diarrhea, but Ben is unwell. Yeah. He is off today, therefore, at Triple Jump. You've got the plops. That's what we say.
Regardless of you are unwell or not, you could just be off, but you've got the plops.
Yeah.
It's just law.
How are you though, Ashton? Are you all right?
I'm all right, yeah. I've not got the plops.
No, that's all you can ask for, really.
I'm a bit sad that Ben wasn't here because we didn't really get a chance to discuss your wedding. You know, we haven't really talked, shared any exciting stories from the wedding.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just getting more weeks away and I'm getting more and more vague on what
And you don't want to do it without Ben.
Well, I mean, we could, but...
We could wait for Ben.
He might have some interesting stories that we haven't got.
Yeah. I've heard all sorts of interesting things from other people, but things that were going on at my wedding that I didn't know about. Because you're so busy when it's your wedding. My advice to anyone, if they get married and have a semi-traditionally sized wedding, is to I don't know. There's no way around it, but try and be everywhere all at the same time because there's so much happening and you miss it. You miss so much.
There was one moment from your wedding, though. Mm. There was just a moment between you and I during the ceremony. I don't know if you remember this. You just lit the family candles. You had quite a religious ceremony that was not expecting.
Yeah.
And I was not prepared for at all.
Right.
Because I have never been to church, really, apart from the odd Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And you lit your family candles and everyone was doing a prayer and I got distracted because there was a bit of silence. So I was just looking around and I look over to you. You look up, make eye contact with me and went, and I was like, Peter, you're meant to be praying for your marriage.
Meant to be praying about my marriage. I'm like, hey, Ashton, how's it going?
And then I was chuckling at the back and my boyfriend was like, what are you laughing at? I was like, no, it's nothing. Don't worry.
Yeah. It was... So we knew we quite liked the idea of getting married in a church, partly because we knew that my family would like that. And then also, I grew up around that church, I lived near there until I was about 10 years old. So we just liked the area. So we're like, oh, we get married there. And then the vicar had all sorts of stuff going on
he was a crazy guy.
He was a very interesting guy. I liked him a lot, but he was pretty crazy. And one thing he does is he has these two candles, the bride lights one at the start and the groom lights the other. And then after you've done your vows and said, I do, then you both get a flame from each candle and light a middle one. And we've kept that now. So we get to light that candle maybe on our anniversary or whatever we want to do with it. So that's nice.
Cute.
And then, but we knew that was going to happen because that was in the rehearsal, but we didn't know what was going to happen.
Was this the knot bit?
It was the Celtic knot that we tied.
Who we spoke to after. So we were sat at the table with the ushers and they were like, the knot bit was not in the rehearsal.
No, it
yesterday.
Was not. So halfway through the thing, I think it was after we'd maybe done our vows. No, maybe not. I don't know when it was, but I can't remember. But he just said, right, we're now going to tie a knot. I was like, what? And he had to tell us how to do it because it was this really complicated thing. And
I liked when he went, they're all around the church and then couldn't point out a single
word.
Yeah,
he said, we're going to tie a Celtic knot. He says, Celtic knots are very important in the C of E. You find them a lot in churches. And he sort of started looking at all the stained glass windows because that's not his normal church.
Right.
He is based in a different church in the same parish, but he hardly does that one. So he was expecting to see one. I guess there's loads in his church. And he was like, well, there aren't any in here, but so... Anyway, a little bit of my wedding there. Maybe we'll do some more next week if Ben is feeling better. Mm. Ashton.
Yes.
We are sponsored each and every week by a very real sponsor.
Yes.
On this podcast. I think you've got an ad read there, have you?
I do. I have it's not a game that's coming out soon. Got to wait a couple of months for it.
Okay.
Specifically around the Christmas period in December. You might know this. It's not very big in the UK. And not huge in America either, but very big in Slavic lands and Germany specifically.
Okay.
You might know that there's like an anti-Santa called...
The Krampus.
The Krampus.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what's more important than having organization if you're going to anti-Santa an entire, you know, continent? That's all right. I'm just talking.
Yeah.
About it.
That's fine. so you have to be organized if you're...
You have to be organized. And you have to probably have quite like an inbuilt system as to how to do these things.
Yeah.
So coming Christmas time...
I know what's coming at Christmas time.
You know what's coming?
Yeah.
Two point Krampus.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Coming from the people who brought you 2 Point Hospital and 2 Point Campus.
Wow, they've been busy. They've made a third game very soon after their second one.
Well, I suppose they've got quite a lot of the mechanics already in place. Just make the put people in little elf costumes or like evil elf costumes and you've got to fight off real elves and Santa because you're bad Santa Krampus. So yeah, coming Christmas period, 2 Point Krampus.
So it's like a top-down building thing.
Yeah, like...
You build like an evil workshop.
Yes.
Yeah, I like how we've taken the idea of the... So I think the Krampus does go around stealing children, but what we have done is just said he has all of the Santa things, but just evil.
Yeah, he's just bad.
He's got like bad reindeer.
Yeah.
People sing bad songs about him. He goes up chimneys.
Yeah. He just busts through the front door.
Yeah.
And he's got like people whose specific job is to like make like coal and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Whatever else Krampus leaves.
But if he's unhappy with the way you've behaved, he has to leave toys for you instead.
Yeah,
You've not been bad.
No, you've been actually too good. So I guess here's a toy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not coming because it's not real.
Oh,
would you believe?
Thank God for that.
It's actually not correct.
I was a bit scared, actually.
Yeah, you should be because you have been a naughty boy this year.
Yes, I have.
Krampus would have come and taken you away.
Yeah.
So. Mm.
That's what I get for glancing at you while praying, I guess.
And cracking a 7-Up in the middle of me talking.
Yeah. That's better than cracking a 7-Up in the middle of praying
that's
in church
true.
On the altar.
True.
That would have been really bad.
That is true. But we're not actually sponsored by that. We're sponsored by our friends over at patreon.com/teamtriplejump, where it's a little for $1 a month, you can ask questions on this very podcast. Lots of other things as well. So if you fancy being a patron and supporting us in that way, why not check it out?
Why not?
If you get a little chance to.
Yeah.
Thanks.
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 Thanks for that. I've got a question here, Ashton.
You do.
It was sent in by Callum Story. Callum says, why do some games hold their value on digital storefronts much better than others of equal quality? And should this be more standardized so consumers know when they might expect games they're interested in to fall within their budget? Thank you, Callum. I wonder whether this is not necessarily to do with quality per se, but sales figures.
Mm.
I mean, my short answer is I don't know exactly why this... You know, why there's that variation. But my suspicion would be if something is selling reasonably well and continuing to sell reasonably well, then the publisher might think, well, there's no need to drop the price.
Yeah.
People are still buying it. So we'll just keep making maximum dollar. But if sales figures start to slow down or at least like fall under the... So they probably always project that they will have a peak in the first few weeks and then go down a graph. But maybe if it's like... falling shorter than the expected downturn, then they might think, okay, we need to boost the figures a bit. We'll make it a better deal. Mm-hmm. So even if you have two games of, say, equal quality, there can be other factors that, you know, cause one to maybe not sell as well as the other. There might be like another game out that's in that same genre that it's competing with, or I don't know, maybe like the number of platforms it's available on, stuff like that. So for whatever reason, even if you've got two games of equal quality, one might not sell as well, and therefore the publisher might think we need to boost those sales, we'll reduce the price. It would be nice to know when a game's price would be going down, if it was standardized or if it was just like flagged up, like, just so you know, in autumn, we will be lowering the price.
Yeah.
But number one, I don't think anyone's going to do that because they don't want to like flag up when you'll be able to get a better deal necessarily. And number two, if it was some kind of standardized thing where Sony were like, if you're going to have a game on our console, you have to set the price to 70% after 6 months or whatever. Like, if that was just some rule, I would feel that that in itself would like affect the sales figures. So at the moment, it's more like if the sales figures are low, they drop the price to like help sell more games. But like, if everyone knows that, well, if I just wait like half a year, it will be cheaper, because you don't always know that's going to be the case. You can assume it might be the case, but you don't always know. Then that in itself might affect the sales of that game. And then that overall can have a bit of a negative effect on any given release, no matter how good it is. So I don't think it's necessarily a good idea in the long run to know when a game's price is going to go down and have like a standardized system for it, because it would just ultimately, it might affect the overall market value of the whole video games market. I think would be like worth less if people knew when it was going to go down.
Obviously, there's like periods in time when they do, like Black Friday.
Yeah,
things that even like the summer sale, the Steam's summer sale is obviously like, and they do occasional things that will be brought on the front page, like, just so you know, we're having a sale right now.
Yeah.
Same with Sony, so they have like summer sales and stuff, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
So there's definitely like times where things will be cheaper, but I think the issue with digital storefronts and digital games is that they have no reason for the price to go down, really, unless they're not selling well. Like, if it's a like IRL copy, then they will get cheaper at some point because stores will need to shift them.
That's a good point, actually.
Like, to put new things on the shelf.
Yeah.
Where like a shop will only have limited space in their inventory and in their like shelves, they will need to get rid of like a new game as a new like bigger release comes out. Or even if it's like a small release, they still need to make room for that. So things might go down in price, which obviously isn't the same with a digital storefront.
Yeah, that's very
true.
So
I think like, what we're used to as gamers is this game is currently this price, but I know that it will go down eventually because they're going to have to get rid of it at some point. So you kind of have that awareness when you're shopping in real life that you're like, things are going to get cheaper eventually.
Mm.
Whereas with digital storefronts, it's kind of still a new concept in a lot of ways. Like, there's not really like a standardized way of doing it, like you say. So it's kind of like, we don't know what the situation is with each game. Every game is different and we never quite know what's going to happen with it. Even when they like go on sale on Steam, like PlayStation games, when they end up on Steam, those prices haven't changed a lot since they've gone out.
Yeah.
Because there's no real need for them. Like, the only issue is how much room is on Steam servers, for example, for you to be playing those games. But even then, like, it's not, they don't have to do that. They just bung off some of the little trash ones at the other end. And you've not got to worry about the brand new ones that are coming on.
Yeah.
So I think, like, there's not really a what works and what doesn't works yet for the digital storefront. Because, like, people will buy things regardless whether you, like, put the price down or not. If people want to buy a digital version of something, they just will.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if it's only available in digital copy, they've got no competition as to who's like undercutting them or who they have to sell these out for, because there's no one else like combating their like marketing figures and stuff. So I wish there was a more standardized way, and I wish that there was a bit more wiggle room, especially on things like the Switch. Like, Switch games on their digital storefront never, like, barely ever go on to discount.
Yeah.
Like, you barely ever see like the big games hitting less than like 50 quid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think Breath of the Wild has gone down at all, apart from the odd like sale that they've done, so like in price at all in the entire time it's been out.
Yeah,
because they've got no reason to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
people are still gonna buy it, and if people haven't got it, they'll either go to CEX and get it cheaper somewhere else,
yeah,
or they'll just buy it on the digital storefront because it's just easier than having to go out and get it. I think it's also a mark of laziness of our generation. Like, well, it's already here. I haven't got to go to the shop, get it, put it in, wait for it to install.
Definitely, yeah. And you can just buy something on a whim. Like, if you're literally sitting down, if it's like, you know, 8 p.m. or something, and you're like, oh, I kind of fancy playing a new game. You know, once upon a time, that's like, well, sorry,
have to wait till tomorrow.
You have to wait till tomorrow and then go to the shop. But yeah, now you can just go, well, I can buy something digitally, I suppose. Just jump on the store. Mm. Yeah, CEX have done well to now just be basically have a monopoly on the secondhand game front, because there is something to be said for secondhand physical copies. They can obviously just be that much cheaper for people who are trying to do video gaming on a budget. Mm. And once upon a time, loads of shops would do secondhand games, and now basically none of them do, except CEX, which is just secondhand games and DVDs. So yeah, good for them. So Callum, maybe the best bet, if you or you know, people you know are gaming on a budget, the best bet might be to sort of switch to physical occasionally,
or wait till Black Friday to buy all
the
games.
Or wait till Black Friday, yeah, exactly.
Get, like, save up for like a couple of months, mm-hmm, and then when it gets to Black Friday, just buy every game that you've wanted, yeah, for months.
Or wait until stuff gets added to like PlayStation Plus as, yeah, one of the monthly games,
or Game Pass. Yeah.
So yeah, there are ways around it if you do. You know, if you think that digital games are just cost too much, which they sort of do.
They do.
There's that whole argument as well of like, well, surely your production costs are lower with a digital game because you're not having to do it, like, print it onto physical media. So why does it cost so much?
But also, what you have to think about is that digital copies, you technically can share those with, like, other people, mm-hmm, especially, like, if you've got, like, PlayStation console sharing, like we were talking about last week. Those games can be played by you and also maybe like two or three other people.
Yeah, we talked about this last week, didn't we?
Yeah, like there's digital copies have their like pros and cons, but physical release, if you want to play it, you have to give it to someone else. Like,
yeah,
there's no like we can play it at the same time. Mm-hmm. Whereas obviously digital copies, which we talked about again last week, can be played at the same time on multiple consoles as long as you've like got the knack,
yeah,
and you know how to do it.
So you could do what Ben does. And do you do it as well?
Yeah.
Where you, yeah, like, well, I don't know if you do this, Ben, I know you share a console, share an account, but Ben's and his friends share an account, and then they go halves on games as well.
Yeah.
Like, so you're essentially buying all your games for 50% of the price by doing that.
Yeah.
So yeah,
just get a mate, Callum, and just go halfsies on digital copies, and you can both play them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just get a friend. That's the answer to the question.
Brilliant.
Well, time to do a segment now that we're testing out while Ben's not here.
Yes.
To see if it works, then maybe we'll introduce it to him when he's back. It's called What We Play In.
Oh. It's What We Play In time. Time to talk about what we play in, or what we've been playing this week.
Yeah.
Peter,
what have you been playing this week?
Well, Ashton, my intention was to have started Stray and played a load of Stray,
yeah,
by the time I got to this podcast. But the issue I've got is that we're moving house very soon, and we have spent every evening for the past week or more, past 2 weeks really, since we got back from honeymoon, either packing stuff into boxes or like, we've had people coming around all the time to pick stuff up that we've either sold or given away for free on the internet. In fact, I've been like tweeting pictures of things that I've just like dug out of dusty boxes. So I have played some games this week, but I've intentionally not played Stray because my gaming has basically been like an hour here and an hour there. And I don't want to like necessarily start Stray and then have to perhaps not play it for 3, 4, 5 days and then play a little bit more. And so I want to like really enjoy that game from what I've seen online. It looks like it's worth giving it my time.
Mm.
So what I have done is I've actually played a little bit more Lego Star Wars, which I sort of put down and, you know, abandoned for a bit, partly because I saw a headline. I didn't even read the article, which is a phrase that's thrown around a lot these days. I saw the headline, didn't read the article, that I think there's some DLC or like extra content coming to
really?
Lego Star Wars. No idea what it is.
It doesn't need extra content.
It doesn't need extra content.
Please,
no, that's
for the
right.
Love of God.
That's absolutely correct. But it just sort of reminded me that game existed. And I was like, oh yeah, I mean, I've given it enough of a break now where I could just like jump in and see, you know, because I've said ad nauseum at this point that the main issue I had is that I was trying to go through and just do all the movies in a row and like just get through the story. And when you play it just like that, it kind of feels a bit shallow and boring, that game, because like they've not gone super hard and super deep on doing the levels.
Much content.
No, they haven't, to be honest. Like, certainly not compared to the original versions of the game, like the old Lego Star Wars games. So I was playing it like that, didn't get a lot out of it. But now that that's all done, I thought, well, if I just go and come at it from a new angle and think, I've got this whole Lego Star Wars world to explore with loads of little bits to do and things to explore, then maybe I'll have more fun. And I have had a bit more fun, actually, a little bit. It still feels
just
a tiny bit more fun. It still just feels too kind of sprawling, and like a lot of the missions aren't actually like particularly exciting, even when you are like focusing on side missions. But
I think it's both got too much content in places where it shouldn't have that much content, and not enough content in other places. Like the fact that like you go to a hub world and it's like there are 100 bricks here. You should find them all. Mm-hmm. And also there's a bunch of characters and side quests. And the side quests will lead you to another hub area where there's also 150 bricks. And you should go and find all of those as well. And you're just like, okay, well, the mission took me literally a minute and a half to do.
Yeah.
So why now am I spending like an hour trying to bungle around this area collecting all of the bricks when like it's just a desert planet
or
like just a random area that you pass through in the movie? And you're like, okay, so this is where the content is. Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah. And it does still make me want to just go back and play the complete saga, whatever it was called, because that really struck the balance. It had like 5 or 6 levels per movie where you like just played actual proper moments from the game, from the film. And, you know, there was like focus there, but still plenty of collectibles. Like you had to get all of your studs.
On the mini kits.
And you had to get the mini kits, but there were only like 6 per level, and they were just like hidden in interesting areas, like not 100 or whatever. Yeah. So, It's still not great, and it's such a shame because I was really excited for that game. But anyway, I have played a few hours of that this week, I'm trying to think if I played anything else, actually. I also played a tiny bit of KO the Kangaroo as well, because I never finished that before when I was streaming it. But I got stuck in a level again in a way that I got stuck at least once, if not twice, on stream.
Right.
Where you just run out of the items that you need to get through certain areas because they've like literally just miscounted or badly designed their game. Like it's not like, oh, careful you don't use all those. It's not like meant to be a mechanic. It's just that they've messed up.
Good.
And you just get like locked in a room effectively, and you have
love
to
that.
Quit the game and start again. So yeah, I've played some really good games this week and had a really great time. I was like, not playing Stray, I want to play KO and Lego Star Wars. I'm gonna have a good time. So fingers crossed, we've actually done most of our packing now, so and I've not packed up the PS5, so fingers crossed I can sit down and enjoy a bit of Stray this weekend and have something slightly more positive to say next week,
hopefully.
What have you been playing, Ashton?
So I've been having I would call it a full brain week, where my brain is so full that I feel like I can't really do anything.
Right.
So I've just played the same things I played last week.
Right.
I played Power Washing Simulator. I sit quietly by myself and I just press the power wash button, and I've been power washing. I did a boat last night.
Yeah.
Yesterday there was like a helter skelter and a plane.
Whoa.
And I've just been doing that just silently in my flat, like that, nothing else, just sat there.
Don't put music on.
Well, sometimes I put TV on and I watch something at the same time, because I'm like really far away from my computer. Like I'm sat on like one end of my sofa playing it on my PC that's about 2 meters away
on my
screen, and then next to me is the TV that I've been watching. And I'm like, this is not the optimal way to play any game.
Probably not.
But I'm just comfy on my sofa. And then I've been playing some more 2 Point Campus. I finished the 4 beginning levels. I'm now on to the like wizardy Hogwartsy campus.
Wow, spoilers.
So
how exciting.
So that's what I've done. That's where I'm at. There's like, how many? I think there's 6 levels that I've unlocked so far.
Mm-hmm.
This one, and there's one more that I've unlocked. And then I think there's about three more potential areas that haven't, like, they're not all unlocked at any one time. Like, you can't see how many levels there are. So I think there's probably about 10 levels potentially. Again, all with, like, the three-star system, which is good because I've already said that I think that once I get past that, I can't play anymore because I don't have the creativity to just sit and make my own university and, like, just do that for hours. Whereas my boyfriend would sit there and he's, like, just accruing money and, like, just keeps building. And I'm like, but what's the point? You can't, you're not getting any stars. I don't understand. But yeah, I mean, I've been enjoying that game. I've definitely encountered some weird, like, graphical bugs and sometimes just some regular bugs. But it is a new game, so hopefully those will get patched out very soon.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
And then last night, me and MB finished Escape Academy on Xbox Game Pass. I really enjoyed this game. I thought it was really fun. You play it in split screen and you can see each other's screens.
Oh, it's the escape room
one. But we actually figured out on the final level that you could turn that off if you wanted to by pressing Z, but neither of us had spotted that. So we've been sat in like split screen the whole time, which is useful in certain aspects because you'd be like, can you just look at that wall so I can just type the code in?
Yeah.
But other times I was like trying to do something on like half the screen. Turns out you could just make your whole screen, but we just didn't know that until like right at the end. And suddenly it popped up with like, toggle split screen with Z, and I was like,
what, I told you that at the end of the game?
Literally, like, so I was like, excuse me, what? How do you mean?
Amazing.
But I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good. It's not a long game either. Like, each of the longest, like, escape time you have is, like, 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't fail any of them, like, because of time limit. We did have to restart the final, like, one because there's a pushing, like, blocks mechanic. And I had told Ben to wait where he was, and he didn't. And he crashed his thing into my thing, and they got stuck together, and we couldn't move them anymore. So we had to restart the level, but we just powered through everything else because we'd already done it all, but like minutes before. So it doesn't have much replayability because the puzzles are all the same.
Yeah.
But it is still a good game, and I did enjoy it.
Good.
So I would recommend it. If you've got someone you want to play with, I would recommend playing. You can play it on your own as well. But,
right. Okay.
But it is quite fun. And it's got local split screen as well. So you and Amy could play it.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good time.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what I've played this week.
You've played one more thing as well that I know of. Played a bit of Kirby as well, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I played half an hour of Kirby's Dream Buffet, which is a Cryptscope on yesterday at time of recording. So on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We did a Cryptscope on it. It's rubbish. It's just rubbish.
I only remembered that because potentially when this podcast goes out, there will also be another Quipscope by me where I will have played Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed.
Oh, yeah.
Which
is that a remaster?
Well, I see, this is how little I know about Destroy All Humans. I know obviously that there was originally Destroy All Humans and then that got remade, I think, from the ground up rather than remastered. And then the other day we were like, oh, is someone going to cover Destroy All Humans 2? And I thought, oh, have they now, so they've remade like the original and now have they like made a new sequel? But then I realized today it's called Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed. And now I'm thinking like, was there a sequel on the, you know, originally? And I think maybe there was, and they've just remade the sequel as well.
Right.
So I'm not particularly enthusiastic about. I'm obviously going to give it a chance and hopefully it'll be really good, but I think that the first one when that was remade didn't like hold up very well. I know people consider it a bit of a classic of its time and or like certainly a cult classic if not an actual classic, but I don't think it like mapped on well to modern gaming. And so if this is a remake of the sequel, which I think it is, then I worry I'll have the same issues, but I'm going to give it a try and see how it goes.
Hopefully they've learned from the first one.
Yeah.
And like made it better.
So there should be a Quipscope available for that. I mean, but only if basically I need to play it during the working day today and try and get a Quipscope done because I'm not in tomorrow and then it's the weekend. So so there may or may not be a Quipscope out now, but if there isn't, then it'll probably be out on Monday. So yeah. It's either out or will be out soon.
But there is a couple of games coming out soon. Like Saints Row comes out next week.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I don't think we've seen really any gameplay for at all, apart from the odd little bit in a trailer. I don't remember that much gameplay happening.
No, I remember...
We've seen a couple of CG trailers.
We've seen the character creator, haven't we, as well. And yeah, we saw the trailers at various, you know, shows and things. But I don't recall seeing just an actual release trailer that's like come out on social media yet.
Whereas
but...
the opposite is true for Gotham Knights, which I have not, I've not stopped seeing content for. It's like, new gameplay trailer, Nightwing. And I'm like, I've basically seen all the game at this point. I don't know why I'm still like, why we're still putting up the gameplay trailers for every character. But yeah, Saints Row comes out very soon. So hopefully we might, fingers crossed, get a code for that. And we might be able to do a quickscope for that and slash play it. Because I kind of just want to play it. I'm kind of at that bit point now where I don't really know what to play.
Yeah.
Like I've not got any like big games on the horizon for me. Like, right now there's games I should finish, like Final Fantasy 7 DLC. I've not finished that yet, but like I also I'm kind of just struggling to find a game that I want to play, because like you, I have to move out of my house in 2 weeks. Don't know where I'm moving to yet, so that's exciting. But yeah, I think there's a lot coming out hopefully in the next few months that will satiate me.
Yeah, stuff keeps getting moved as well, but I think that's partly why, subconsciously, why I've not. Another reason maybe why I've not played Stray is because I know that once I played that, I will then be back in kind of, oh, what am I going to play now? Like, I've been really looking forward to playing it, but then once I've finished it, it will be gone. Yeah. So, yeah,
we'll see. This is true. Well, it's time for question two. It comes from Jeremy Baker. What are some games that force you to take actual real-life notes in order to progress? I made it as far as I could in The Witness and needed to bust out graph paper for absurdly hard puzzles. Or The Bard's Tale, a classic RPG that doesn't come with a map and is procedurally generated, so you had to draw town maps yourself as you discover them. Thanks. Kiss. Thanks, Jeremy.
Do you want to go first, Ashton?
Sure.
I'm always going first.
So, it's at my Escape Academy, and once we finished playing the game, my notepad looked like the scrawlings of a madman.
Oh, my God.
Because there was just all of these, like, ciphers that I was, like, writing down, like, various, like, numbers and words and stuff. It doesn't make any sense. If you look at my notepad, it genuinely looks like I've lost the plot. But, like, it's just, like, all of these words and stuff, because, like, I was, like, trying to remember them for, like, later on, or, like, I was going back and, like, trying to write them down, or there's a sequence of things we need to do in a certain order, and we kept messing it up, so we had to, like, go, and I was, like, it's, like, G right, B left, and it doesn't make any sense, like, if you look at it on its own, but it made sense in the moment. So if you go into my house right now, there's just, like, a notepad open that's just scrawlings of a madman, like, all over it. So that one I took lots of notes for, but also... I didn't really need to because it had a built-in mechanic, but I found it really hard to read. Deathloop, I took loads of notes for, like various different like puzzles and stuff. I was sat like making notes for there's a specific one where you find like a bunker and there's a radio that at a certain time will like play a code and it will like tell you where the other like bunkers are to go and find. And I was there like writing it down and like taking all the notes for like the coordinates and stuff and like doing it. And then I just went into the game like notepad and it was like right there. And I was like, no, it's too hard to read. I'm going to have to write it all down. But I made loads of notes for Deathloop because I think I just was like, if they're in front of me, I don't have to go looking for them. And I can just see in like my face where I have to go. And again, probably like the scrawlings of a madman. So I've just written down random bits of clues is what I was trying to say. So yeah, those are what two that I remember. I've been like actively had a notepad out writing down things.
Yeah.
But what about you?
I think there are probably more than I can remember, but a couple of things, like very specific instances, came to mind from some of the PC games I used to play when I was a bit younger. So the Goosebumps video game that I had that I played on stream, I think like last Halloween or something, Goosebumps Escape from Horrorland, had this sequence in it where... So it was mostly a point-and-click adventure game, but there was this bit where you're being chased by a werewolf.
Right.
And it, like, shows you first-person, like, running through this forest, and your head's, like, bobbing up and down. And weirdly, the way that you get through this sequence is that your friend, Lizzie, this girl who you're there with, she says to you either, run to me over here or this way.
Right.
And she says it like a few times in a row when you get to like branching paths. and you have to click left, right, or forwards to choose that path. And if you get it wrong, the werewolf comes and smacks you in the face and you have to restart. But it's not like stereo audio or anything. It's just that one of those three phrases is assigned to left, forwards, or right.
Okay.
And it's just trial and error. So you have to just keep doing it, and like the werewolf's killing you and stuff. And then eventually you work out, okay, over here means forwards, run to me means left. So I remember writing that down because I was like, this is weird. Why is this, you know, what a strange mechanic or a strange way of like doing this sequence. Like I say, there was no, if it had stereo audio, then maybe you would be able to hear her like side to side. But no, that's not how it worked. So definitely wrote that down. And then I used to have this weird game. It was called Pirates of the Caribbean, right? And I think it was Disney affiliated. And the logo on the front was kind of akin to the logo of the film, as in the Jack Sparrow movie. And it came out roughly the same time, but it may have come out either just before or just after. And it had absolutely nothing to do with any of the characters at all from the film. So it was just, I think essentially, like the film was, I think it was based on the ride from Disneyland.
Right.
And they weren't based on each other like the film and the game. So anyway, I had this game and you play as a pirate called, I think he's called Nathaniel. And it's actually a really interesting game for the time where there's just all these islands. It's a third person action game. You have a sword and a gun and you buy ships and you sail around and you can like move, you can buy goods on one island and take them and sell them and steal stuff from other ships and stuff. But one of the easy ways to make money in that game was to just buy low and sell high.
Right.
And different islands, like traders on different islands, would buy things for different values, but it would constantly fluctuate. So you would like go to one of these islands and there'd be a guy who's like selling silk really cheaply, but he buys spice for like a really high price.
Right, okay.
And so I used to like make all these comprehensive notes of like, okay, if I quickly like go to another island, buy a load of spice really cheap, and I can bring it over here and sell it. So that's how I used to make money on Pirates of the Caribbean, is just like being a trader, just going around, buying stuff, selling it to someone else. There's a whole mechanic where stuff built in there where you're supposed to go off exploring caves and fighting skeletons and stuff. I was like, no.
I'm in the spice trade.
Yes, I am indeed in the spice trade. So yeah, I used to make a lot of notes in that game just to know what I could get for my silk and my tea.
Brilliant.
But I'm sure there are other games.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be ones I've forgotten. But even like the odd note that I've written down of like somewhere I have to go. Because sometimes they don't tell you. What game was I playing recently where like I had no idea where I was going? So Batman Arkham Asylum, I've been playing on stream. I think I'm just bad at the game. But also they keep telling me where I need to go. But because it's in a cutscene, I forget.
Right.
And then it doesn't necessarily be like go to intensive treatment unless you like go out of the map and then like look further away, and I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. I'm just meandering around confused. So I feel like I do need a pen and paper to be like, right, he's just said to go to intensive care and check it out over there. So maybe I'm just bad. I think I'm just bad at the game though.
Possibly. Maybe we're both just bad at games.
Maybe just bad at games. Well, now onto something a little bit strange, a little bit peculiar. It's time for some weird news.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It's weird news time. Time for some weird news. But before we get to the weird news is sponsored each and every week by our podcast producers. If you'd like to become a podcast producer and have your name read out as a sponsor of Weird News, you can do so by going to triplej.mp/Patreon. I have to think about that. Where for $5 or something, $10, $1,000, I don't know how much it is, you can become a podcast producer.
I think it's $50.
$50 plus. $50 plus. You get other things as well.
Yeah.
But
also this.
Yeah, it's not $5. That's after dark, isn't it? Or is that $10?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
We're not in charge of that. That's all Fraser.
Fraser looks after it. I should know. But anyway, it's not $5. It's apparently $50. As I say, you get other things too. Go and have a look. See what else you get. Thank you to this week. Nathan.
G.Y. Goliath.
Sean Legg.
Corey Duffill.
Robin Wardle.
Ellie Nicholas.
Erica Hutchinson.
Melody L. Bonnet.
Katie Garrett-Jarrett.
And Gabrielle Philippink. Thank you, podcast producers. You're the best.
Did you know you can send in weird news to us via social media on Twitter and Facebook.com/TeamTripleJump. We put a post out every week and we ask you for weird news.
You can submit it and we'll maybe read it out.
Just like Dan Wilson at iDanWilson on Twitter did.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. I've got a story here from Kotaku.
Is it random?
No, because that's Nintendo Life, isn't it? It does random. Yeah, sorry.
Never mind. I just forgot that was the wrong website.
It's by Patricia Hernandez. Thanks, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Who says, she can... It begins with she. Just... You'll find out who.
Okay.
She convinced men on Tinder to buy Nier Automata and then ghosted them, she says.
Who is she?
By Patricia Hernandez. So here we go. Interesting story. There's a dramatic scene in Nier Automata in which, spoilers, a desperate downtrodden android commands his AI companion to cease all logical functions. The AI, sensible thing that it is, warns him that there's almost no chance this will end well. Our hero knows this, of course. He does it anyway. This leads to one of the most memorable lines in the entire critically acclaimed action game. "Why do I long for humans like this?" the android cries out as he takes a dangerous leap of faith that ends up with someone getting hurt.
Yeah.
If you've ever gone on Tinder, don't know why that first paragraph is even in there, you might know exactly what this is like, even if you've never played Nier Automata. A woman named Jen certainly does, based on her experience.
Is she Jen?
Probably. Based on her experience using dating apps. Jen, who works as a paralegal, that's like a bird that jumps out of planes,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
A paralegal went viral on Twitter earlier this year for, as she put it, swiping on Tinder and getting, quote, guys to buy Nier Automata, end quote, only to, quote, then ghost them, end quote. There's then a tweet embedded by someone else, a guy called Drake Nier Struggle Tweets. He's put, "Oh my God," and then a screenshot of her tweet underneath. And she is Enya at Jenny09410602 on
Twitter. Why wouldn't they just embed her tweet?
Because, I don't know, maybe she's deleted it, but Drake has got the screenshot. Mm. But her tweet said, "I used to roam around on Twitter and get guys to buy Nier Automata and then ghost them. I think my count was up to 22 when I stopped.
Wow.
I mean, I never said I'd flip with them." She didn't use the word flip. "I mostly just talked a lot about it and recommended the game. Also, high sales mean more tarot games." So she was doing it to try and get a sequel, I guess, or something similar made.
Oh. Good to have a hobby, I guess.
It is. The article then continues, probably just regurgitating information I've just summarized in the single tweet, but it says, By her count, she roped 22 men in her devious yet amazing scheme.
Yeah, we just read that, Kotaku.
We did. Since it's been a couple of years, she claims, she couldn't know that Kotaku proof... She couldn't show Kotaku proof that she convinced dozens of men to buy the unusually philosophical game. She did, however, have a handful of screenshots of conversations full of flirts in which people would say that they couldn't believe they were about to buy a video game just to impress a girl. It then says, editor's note, this bar is low. Thank you, editor. And at least some of the pictured folks appear to have genuinely played the game, as screenshots show discussion of different endings and plot points between her and the would-be paramours. Interesting word. I'm not familiar with that. Mm. Do they jump out of planes as well? Known for its intense post-apocalyptic and introspective storytelling, Nier Automata is full of twists and turns. Are we now just on to the filler? Yes, we are.
Yeah, just the ad filler, please.
I don't think anything else. Part of what makes the story believable is the sheer scope of Jen's fandom, which she calls an obsession. She shared a picture of a shrine she said she keeps in her room. That's weird, isn't it?
It is weird. It's all right to be on a shelf, but that is a bit of a shrine.
And folks, the thing is massive. It's got Emil all over it in a variety of different forms. The table, which even includes a dedicated candle, would stand out in any room. Indeed, Jen said that before people go in her room for the first time, Jen has to warn them about it first. The shrine makes sense when you consider Jen's connection to the game. This is a long article. It's not all filler, actually. Some of it is relevant to Jen. But I think we've got the idea there because she basically used to tell people to play Nier and they would. And then she was trying to just boost the game's popularity.
Wow.
Well done, Jen.
Thanks, Jen.
If that is your real name.
Maybe. I have a weird news. From Cameron JQ, was sent in on Facebook. It comes from Game Rant, written by Truman 2.
Is it random?
It's not, unfortunately. Oh, there's a massive cookie thing in my screen. It was like a huge cookie pop-up with like the tiniest little accept button I've ever seen.
Americans won't know this, but every website we go on, we have to click a thing that says, yeah, okay, I accept cookies. I think that's a UK thing or an EU thing.
Yeah, cookies just been like, can they stalk you and post adverts on your Facebook feed later on?
Yeah, I mean, Americans still have cookies, but they don't have to say yes to them.
They have to agree to them. Yeah. You just get subjected to them. Anyway, Capcom selling strange and expensive Monster Hunter Rejang pillow.
Oh.
Capcom will be selling a strange and also expensive pillow of one of the bosses from Monster Hunter Rise. I want to say, is it Rajang? Rajang?
I'm not sure. I've not played it.
We'll go with Rajang.
Okay.
Which might get a laugh from fans. Now, this article, like, I haven't read it. I just saw the pictures and I was like, yes.
I've not seen the pictures.
It's horrible. Capcom's Monster Hunter franchise is an outlet for creative creature and boss designs, ranging from the terrifying to the outright cute, even. It's no surprise that these cute creatures are also... Can you see that? I can't read. I don't know what's wrong with me today. I can't speak or read. I'm like falling over every word. Okay. It's no surprise that these creatures also translate well into marketable merchandise for fans to purchase. This includes a life-size plush toy of the Palamutes from Monster Hunter Rise to chibied versions of terrifying monsters such as Goss Harag and from the same game. One of the truly strange and also quite hilarious pieces of merchandise that fans will soon be able to get hold of is a pillow of one of the iconic boss monsters, Rajang. Oh dear, so sorry everyone. Rajang was first introduced in Monster Hunter 2, being a fanged beast with a gorilla-like appearance. For context, this is what he looks like.
Oh, he's pretty, like a gorilla with pretty horns. Epic with horns. Yeah.
He made a return in Monster Hunter World Iceborne alongside a volcanic location as a free DLC update.
I like how they described him. They missed out the horns, which are kind of the main feature. He's a fanged gorilla.
I would say he's a horned beast with a gorilla-like appearance. But,
I would.
You know, each their own. Mm. Fans of the series can now own the big primate-esque beast as a pillow that is officially being sold by Capcom. This pillow of the terrifying beast Rajang is nowhere near how big the monster is in the game, but its smaller stature is hilarious. What's more is that it's lying down like a sleeping... What's more is it's lying down like it's sleeping, complete with a serene expression. According to Capcom's official store, the pillow is 15 centimetres thick, measures out 90 by 70 centimetres, and will set fans back approximately 26,400 yen, which is approximately $200.
Ooh.
Look at this picture of it. It is horrible.
Oh, no.
It's really awful.
Oh, my God. That is not what I expected at all. I thought it was going to be like a Snorlax or something, just with vaguely like similar features to the in-game creature. But no.
Horrible. Disgusting.
Right. You really do have to Google this or click on the link, which should be in the description if you're watching on YouTube. But
I'm just going to hold this up. You get a little version of it.
Oh, yeah. That's about like enough detail.
But you need to see it in its full glory. I would recommend clicking on the link in the description on the YouTube channel to.
Good grief. The colouring alone is just kind of.
Yeah.
Awful. It's just too realistic. Yeah. I don't like that at all.
No. The fans had a field day with the sight of the pillow, especially with the official images provided on Capcom's store. This includes one where Rajang is resting on a couch, another seeing the beast lie down on the floor with another person. There's even another photo that shows a man thinking in contemplation while Rajang sits next to him, with some joking that the pillow can wake up at any time and become the threat it is in Monster Hunter Rise. They also release another pillow that's a sunbreak Keizu Moor cushion from Monster Hunter Rise, which is a bit more like normal of a cushion.
Yeah.
Still a bit weird, but at least it's kind of cushion shaped.
And that was the kind of style I expected of the gorilla, but no.
No. So yeah, they've released that horrible cushion for $200. You can own that horrible thing. And you can just invite people over, put it maybe in your shrine.
Yeah.
And say, just a pre-warning.
Just warn you before you come
in. The thing on my
here.
Bed is not an animal that's real. It won't come alive, but it might make you feel incredibly uncomfortable to be in the room with it. So,
yeah.
You're welcome.
See, I went into that article expecting it to be a body pillow, like a long thing. And I was thinking, oh, no, this is going to be bad.
That's kind of what I thought when I was reading it. Then I saw the
But then as you described it, like I said, I expected maybe just a big squishy Snorlax or something. So I was like, oh, no, this will be fine. And then when you show... So it was like a real roller coaster for me, that adventure. Thank you.
As the silent roller coaster I was having this morning when I was reading through the articles. And I didn't even read that one because I was like, I don't know how interesting it's going to be. And then I looked at the pictures and I was like, I found it. This is the one.
Good grief.
Yeah.
Well, it's time for question three, which comes from Cameron Keywood, who sent that story in. Huh. Cameron, calm
Look
down.
Who's back.
Cameron says, Halo Bapperoos. Two L's and hello,
like
Cameron. Otherwise, it's Halo. The PS Store has been flooded recently with what some people are referring to as trashinums, reskins of the same game, all with easy platinums. I don't mind some of these games, as with the final project looming, they are all I have had time to play. Do you think it's time Sony placed their foot down and curb it, or are you of the opposite opinion, where everyone is entitled to their own platinum? Everyone's entitled to their own platinum proclivities. Cameron Keywood. Thank you, Cameron.
Thanks, Cameron.
As is the case with pretty much every question we get asked relating to platinums, my kind of quick answer is that it's of very little interest to me that these games exist and I can play them and get loads of platinums really easily. It's a shame that Ben Potter's not here because he's probably played a lot of these trashinums. However,
he actively seeks out the trashinums.
Yeah, he does.
I've been around his house and I've seen like his PlayStation homepage, and I'm like, and he shows me like, what was it, cat lady versus lizard people, or lady versus cat people. It's weird. It's just bright colors and like just terrible mechanics, but easy platinums. He loves. Are trashinums.
There are like forums or websites that you can go to that like list games that are easy platinums and stuff. That's where he finds some of these from. And yeah, it's crazy. So while they aren't of any interest to me, I'm also not particularly offended by them or upset that they exist. So I think as long as it's clear to people that And it's probably not always clear, actually, to people that the game they are buying is basically trash. Mm. And it's like, it kind of only exists for a platinum to be unlocked. Then no one's going to be particularly harmed by this. But I don't know. I guess there is a chance that perhaps younger gamers who have access to their dad's or mum's credit card, which they shouldn't do, or people who maybe are like new to gaming generally, maybe they've like just bought a PS5 for the first time and they've never had a console before, and they're like, oh, look all these games I can play. You know, I think there's a risk that some of these people might end up buying a game that just turns out to be like a block of wood. But on the other hand,
a jar of mayo that you just have to tap
yes,
forever.
Exactly. But then generally these are probably like 99p or less. Mm. So, you know, who's really... no one's going to like be particularly badly stung by these. It would be nice maybe if there was a category called Trashonyms.
I was going to say, like, the only issue I have with these games, like, every single digital storefront is full of trash. Like, there's, like, Steam's full of it. There's, like,
yeah, it's
Nintendo,
not a Sony thing.
Switch have also got, like, a terrible issue with, like, there just being trash games on the Switch. But, like, it's... If they made it easy to sort out things on, so specifically on PlayStation, I've talked about this before, their like categories thing is rubbish. Mm-hmm. That you can't sort by games. You can't pick a category, really. You can't pick like whether it's local, multiplayer, or whatever. If they just put a bit of effort into their UI, then you wouldn't even see these trash games. Like, you could just be like, it needs to be a minimum 3 stars or above in terms of like ratings, and you wouldn't see them. But because they haven't implemented that, they just block up and like appear on people's kind of searches because there's no filter that you can get rid of them. Like you say, there's no category that's like Trashonyms. Like, if there's like an easy platinum thing where like Sony, there's some algorithm that's like, you can platinum this game in 2 hours.
Mm.
Bug them in the easy platinum thing for all those platinum hunters like Ben Potter to just go in.
Because then they can find them easier as well.
Yeah, you can find them
easier. Yeah,
exactly. They can go in, get themselves a trash Cat Lady versus Lizard Man game and just finish it in like 2 hours. And then us regular folk who couldn't care less haven't got to worry about all this trash appearing on our PlayStation storefront.
Yeah.
So the real issue here isn't that they should curb them and get rid of them. It's just that Sony should sort out their UI and make it easy for people to sort out what they do and don't want.
That's a good point.
But every storefront is filled with trash.
Yeah.
I mean, Steam will show you the trash on the homepage. Like, you'll go and open Steam and they'll be like, do you want this anime sexy Candy Crush game?
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
I'm bored of Candy Crush. I've been playing Candy Crush loads, and now I wish it was sexier.
I just want to see anime boobies. Mm. When I finish my Candy Crushing, I want there to be a boobies at the end.
Yeah.
That's what I want now.
That's the only thing that's going to motivate me to crush this candy, is knowing that...
That there's boobies at the other end.
Yeah. So thanks, Steam.
Thanks, Steam. But like I say, it's not just a Sony issue. There is it's all over Steam. Like we were saying on the latest Weirdest Games, we're like, is it just another trash like Steam
shovelware thing
that's just like just a pile of rubbish? And I'm like, no, it's not, promise. But like, there is just, they're all over everything because they're so easy to make, like, mm-hmm. just bung a bunch of assets into a game and just hope for the best. Like that God of War thing that we were talking about last week, on the Xbox store, Zeus of Child.
Yeah, Zeus of
God
Child.
Of Warning, Zeus of Child. They're like all over the place, but you know, some people, like, people love them.
Yeah,
a bit of a trash. Everyone loves to sit and watch a trash game be played, or like play a trash game with their friends. But there definitely should be some kind of like sorting out that should be done.
I mean, like looping back to question one when you were saying the difference between physical and digital storefronts. That's another one where like, with digital storefronts, there's endless shelf space.
Mm.
So they can just like put all of the rubbish on. Whereas you didn't used to see, I'm sure like to a certain extent, all this stuff used to exist, you know, 10, 15 years ago. I mean, it's easier now for people to make trash games and distribute them. So probably to a lesser extent. But there were a load of like trash things, you know, a couple of generations ago. But you would walk into a game store and you wouldn't like be subjected to all that because there's only so much shelf space and they've got Call of Duty all over there.
It'd be in the bargain bin.
There might be a bargain bin, like, exactly.
Packed to the top, and there's like games in the bottom there from like 1993 that they've just never bothered to get out.
And you know that because it's in the bargain bin, it's going to be rubbish.
Yeah.
But now everything is just almost present. You know, I know there's front pages and stuff, and sometimes it will sort by probably popularity and relevance, but it will essentially put everything in front of you if you do certain search terms. It's the same with like streaming services as well, like outside of gaming. You know, you search Netflix for something and you'll get a few like interesting things at the top that are related to the thing you search for.
Yeah.
When you type in Jurassic Park or whatever, and it's like, oh, did you mean Dinosaur Adventure? No, I didn't. You clearly know what Jurassic Park is because I didn't put the word dinosaur in.
Similar shows that you might, we don't have that, but here's a similar show that you might like.
Yeah.
Dinosaur Zoo. You want that?
Yeah.
You want it?
Yes, please. So that's another, in a way, it's a downside to digital storefronts is that they can have everything on the shelf and put it in front of you. It's good in a way because it gives indie developers a chance to distribute, you know, smaller projects, but the Trashinums are out there.
They are.
Give us a checkbox, please.
Just please. Well, now it's time for the big discussion. It's time now for the big discussion. The big discussion comes from Jack Bradshaw. Howdy, Bap. Hope you're all well. Out of all the games that came out this year so far, which one would you like to see at the very least as a nomination for this year's Game Awards Game of the Year?
Ashton.
Yeah.
Not Ashton, actually. Listener / viewer.
Okay, I'll close my ears.
Yeah. Ashton gets these questions together every week for us, which is very nice. They're submitted by the audience, and Ashton goes and finds the good ones. And then she runs them by me and Ben and says, you guys are all right for answering these questions? We're like, yeah, fine. And she showed us these questions yesterday. And I said, yeah, that's fine. Because I read the question and thought, yeah, I'll have an answer for that. And then this morning when I was making notes, I was like, wow, I've like not really enjoyed gaming.
I did the exact
this year.
Same. I was going through like a list of all the games that come out this year because I couldn't remember like which ones I played this year but hadn't come out. And I was like, I had to write down games that I'm like, wish they were better. And then games that I'm like, yeah, I really enjoyed.
I've written two games that I've not played, but I know should and will be nominated for Game of the Year. Elden Ring, I don't like Soulsborne games, but I know full well that that is probably one of the best games of the year, objectively. Horizon as well, I'm sure you've probably written down.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really get on with the first one, and I know I probably... Maybe one day we'll play it and probably enjoy it if I really, like, give it the time.
Yeah.
I have the time is the issue. I just didn't have the time to play it. And for that reason, I wasn't enjoying it. So I never played the second one because I was like, I don't really want to play it until I played the first.
You don't know the story of the first one, so you'll be a bit lost.
So that. There's some games that are coming out this year that I'm hopeful will be really good and Game of the Year quality. So potentially The Last of Us Part 1. But I mean, that's not even going to be new content in that sense. It's just going to be a remake of a game that...
Yeah, I wonder what kind of thing that would like get at Game Awards.
Yeah.
Because like you say, it's not a new game.
Can you make it Game of the Year?
Like, game, but like you say, it's not new. They've not had to like... They've obviously made it from the ground up in terms of graphically, but like they've not had to do the story or anything. Like,
no.
It's not brand new. So
I'll probably have a good time playing that, but whether it's going to be Game of the Year material, I don't know.
Mm.
And then the other one that is probably a good shout is God of War Ragnarok.
Yeah, sure.
But then, you know, there were a few things that were supposed to come out this year that I was really excited for and assumed may well be my Game of the Year. And they've either come out and not been as good as I thought. Lego Star Wars was one of them.
I have also written that down.
Yeah, should have been better. And then stuff that isn't now coming out because it's been put back to next year. So Forspoken was meant to be this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, October. There's a bit of like a stipulation that things have been pushed back because God of War is coming out.
Yeah.
And people don't want to compete. Like, I think Forspoken was going to come out late October. God of War comes out like 13th of October, I think.
Right.
So it's like... People were like, they've just pushed it back. And I don't think this is the case for all the games that suddenly disappeared from the October, November region.
Yeah.
But like, I think the kind of rumor was like people are like aborting, like putting things out there because they're like God of War's gonna just take over, which I think is true. But it does just not mean that people on like Xbox or PC gamers who aren't going to have access to God of War Ragnarok haven't got anything to play.
Yeah.
Because everything's just been pushed back for like another couple of months.
That's a good point, actually. It being exclusive, like, yeah. So if you have other consoles, you don't even get God of War to play. And then, you know, divisive as it is as a subject, Hogwarts Legacy, I was looking forward to playing. Trans women are women, by the way, just in case you didn't know that. But that was meant to be this year and is now going to be, I think, early next year, like January or something.
I think they've pushed it back to, I want to say they've announced it to be like February.
Right,
it
might be that. Yeah, it's fairly early next year. But so I think it's pretty slim pickings. There's lots of like good games that came out, but there's not, I don't think there are that many like big hitter, like AAA. The likes of Elden Ring and Horizon, That's kind of it, like, from what I saw. And everything else was like, oh, yeah, that went down well, but it's not like, you know, I mean, I've not played Stray yet, but, like, will people be saying Stray is Game of the Year?
Well,
is it, like, big enough? Is it, like, hard-hitting enough?
This thing, I don't... So, obviously, like, Game of the Year the last few years have been, like, really big AAA games that have, like, hit the market and been, like, massive games. Like, obviously, last year... Deathloop, what was the game that there's Resident Evil Village, Deathloop, Ratchet & Clank... probably some other games.
Yeah, what came out last year? But there were a fair few last year, yeah.
And all the games that were out there for Game of the Year, like the category, were big games made by big devs, like with massive teams of people. Whereas this year, like you say, there's not actually that much of that many games, especially this
not
half
in that
of the
category,
year,
yeah,
that hit that category and also kind of like have done really well.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, like Horizon and Elden Ring, if only they'd have come out like pushed, you know, one of them back to the middle of the year, so we've got something to play around now, because we've like not had that much coming out until the end of the year now. But they obviously both came out. I think Elden Ring's probably a shoo-in to win Game of the Year, even though I literally have zero interest in it. And then a lot of people really loved it, but also a lot of people, it's just like not their cup of tea at all. Where like Horizon is a bit more like accessible to everyone, where Elden Ring isn't. But I think Elden Ring's a shoo-in for Game of the Year. I don't even think God of War will beat it out for Game of the Year this year. But like you say, if we've got to go like top like five in the category, you've got potentially God of War, potentially The Last of Us, Horizon, Elden Ring. And I can't think of a fourth game.
And Last of Us is questionable whether it counts.
Yeah, because it's like not a new game.
Yeah.
I don't know of a new game that will come out that I'll be like, yeah, it can fit in the category. Like, I really like Stray, and I think it's a really good game. But I don't think it won't compete with any of the games anyway. And I also, like, I couldn't see it kind of making the grade for it being Game of the Year.
This is the thing, though. Oh, sorry, no, carry on.
I was going to say, there's other games that are like have come out that had a lot of potential that didn't quite hit the mark.
Yeah.
Like Lego Star Wars, like Tiny Tina's Wonderland.
Yeah.
Those two are the only other games where I've been like, those are big games, big devs, like huge companies. And the general consensus is just a bit meh.
Yeah, like they could have made the cut, but they didn't.
But they haven't. And I think they'll probably still be in for like certain awards. Like, I don't think that they'll be shunned. But I do think that they just have not hit the market in the same way that I think everyone was expecting them to. And if they had, there might be a bit more of a discussion about like what games are going to be in the top five, like who's going to be nominated for it. But I just don't think there's enough games coming out this year that hit the mark. There might be an indie that like comes out and like surprises us. But like I say, I just don't think, unfortunately, that Game of the Year will be won by an indie.
No.
Especially not this year. But just in general, like, I just don't think that they unfortunately have the manpower to compete with some of the huge games that come out. Like, Unpacking did really well last year.
Yeah.
But it was never going to win a Game of the Year because it's just too small.
But that, like, begs the question, doesn't it? That, like, what exactly makes a Game of the Year a Game of the Year? Mm. You know, because if a game came out and expectations weren't like super like high for it because it wasn't a AAA. And then it was as fun to an extent as a AAA game.
Yeah.
Like I say, it doesn't help that I've not yet played Stray, but from what I've seen, a lot of people have really enjoyed Stray.
Yeah.
And to think of an example from last year that maybe is in that sort of ballpark, Kena Bridge of Spirits. Yeah. That was people were kind of going into that, probably already like making allowances for it, saying that like this is the first game from this company. They've been doing animation, so we'll see how they fare game wise. And they made a really good game that, unfortunately, because of its scale, almost sort of gets automatically ruled out from Game of the Year. Now, I'm not suggesting that like I actually think it should have been Game of the Year, but it's kind of, it almost seems unfair that like it falls at the first hurdle just because of its size and scale who made it.
That you've got these gargantuan games like Assassin's Creed Valhalla that came out last year. Or came out 2020 actually, didn't it?
Yeah.
And then you've got like these little games that are really good at they've done a really good job at what they've done, but because it's small and because it's not reached the like wider community, it's just not, it can't compete, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But obviously, we're just saying like Saints Row is coming out next week. You've got Callisto Protocol as well.
Oh, yeah.
There's like a couple of other things that are coming out this year, but I just can't see them like hitting the mark.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Saints Row will become Game of the Year material. So we've not seen it yet. So maybe it's really good, but I just can't see a game that is like Saints Row or like GTA hitting the scene and doing the impact that like they would need to do to be some like the Game of the Year contender, if that makes sense. And Callisto Protocol comes out too late in the year. It's not coming out until December or November time, which will be too late. So they'll be in the market for next year. I think that's normally how it works, if it comes out the month of the Game Awards or something. Because there was one game last year, was it Cyberpunk, that they were like, Cyberpunk won't be viewed this year,
it'll be
going into next year's pile.
Depends when how early they do nominations as well, because like, you know, there's like the event itself, but you know, I imagine the process starts earlier on, so I'm not exactly sure, but
there are some other like big games, big-ish games hitting the scene soon, but like you say, there's just not anything that I think will contend with what we've got / what is already coming out. Obviously Gamescom Event Live's next week.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get some surprises that are coming out this year.
Yeah.
But we got lots of like hints of what's coming out in the next few years. Like 2023 is looking at like shaping up to be quite a good year, especially the first half of the year.
Yeah.
For gaming. But then this year was looking really good for gaming. Especially the first half of the year. And then things just kind of gradually meandered back to the second half of the year and that have now moved to 2023. So there's like, there's lots going on and there's lots of stuff that's coming out, but whether any of it will be Game of the Year material. That's a funny noise.
Yeah, it won't be being picked up though.
No. Whether any of it will be Game of the Year material, I don't know.
Yeah. We obviously do our own Game of the Year podcast in, I think we do it after we come back from New Year, so it'll be in early January, and we're normally a bit more kind of open to including the likes of, say, Kena Bridge of Spirits or something like that, so I think we'll have an easier time picking those five in terms of just games that we really enjoyed, our favorite experiences of the year, but I think, you know, Jack is clearly asking about what do you think are the nominees for like the biggest hitters this year so far. And, you know, like I say, I read that question when Ashton said, here's the big discussion. I thought, yeah, that's fine. And then like 12 hours later, I'm making notes for it and thinking, oh my God.
Had the exact same thought process. I was like, this would be easy.
Yeah.
There's loads of games that come out this year. And then I was like, no, there isn't as many games as I thought there was that come out this year that I've enjoyed anyway.
So you should very much, in this instance, let us know in the comments below if you think we've missed anything, or what do you agree with us? Do you think that it's surprisingly slim pickings for those real big AAA Game of the Year contenders this year? And you can tell us all about your thoughts on our other questions as well in the comments below. I'm going to tell you where you can find us on the internet as well.
Please do.
We are Team Triple Jump. You can go to youtube.com and twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump to see all of our content. That's our videos and our live streams. We stream on both. And when we're streaming on both, we're modded by Lord Brotovich, Trailing Badger, and Mr. Black. Also, when we're on Twitch, you can, of course, subscribe on Twitch. And if you've got Amazon Prime, there's a Twitch sub in the bundle there already. So you can spend that on us at no extra cost to you if you're already paying for Prime. So consider doing that if you like. We've got Twitter and Facebook presences at twitter.com and facebook.com/Team Triple Jump. You can go to either of those for video and live stream announcements, legacy video content, actual live stuff on Facebook occasionally. We've also got a TikTok, which is tiktok.com/@Team Triple Jump. We tick and talk over there. You can go and go and watch those.
Yeah.
Have you done one recently?
We haven't done one in a while. We've been quite busy and everyone's been having time off over the summer. So it's been a bit, we'd like barely all together in the same room at any point. So we have to do some eventually, but we will try and get
some. We will do some more. But
follow us on there when we eventually.
Yeah, you should get there, so you can be the first to see the next talks.
Or ticks.
But that's mostly looked after by Ashton and Fraser. And patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. You can go over there for all kinds of rewards, the values of which I clearly don't know, as demonstrated earlier on in the podcast. But
there's the After Dark podcast, which is like the sexy podcast. Whoa. Where we do swear words.
Yeah.
And then we've also got early access to Worst and Winnest Games Ever at a certain tier. And if you want to find out more, just head on over. You can get some merch if you get a subscriber at a certain tier.
You can get signed copies
of Weirdest Games and Worst Games Ever, and posters and t-shirt.
You can get me to paint a picture for you as well.
Peter will paint you a picture.
Yeah.
If you give him enough money.
If you give me specifically enough money.
It doesn't actually go to Peter, but he'll still paint you a picture. Yeah. Anyway. We have a website. It's triplejerd.mup/. Oh, no, wait. We have a website. triplejerd.mup. It spells jump. It's very clever. We have a Discord. If you hang out with our wonderful community, why not go to triplejet.mup/Discord. On Discord, we're modded by Jack, Joe, Tori, and Hollow Eyes. If they tell you to do something, bloody well, do it, all right? If you want to listen to the podcast in its audio form, maybe you're moving out of your house soon and need to do some packing and want some lovely people to hang out with you while you're packing your boxes up, why not go to triplejet.mup/podcast. If you want to check out one of our live stream VODs, if you've missed one over the week, why not go to triplejerd.mup/VODs. If you want to order a cameo, maybe you've got a birthday or a christening or a wedding coming up, why not go to triplejerd.mup/cameo. We will wish your baby a happy christening if you want us to do that.
Then you can keep it until they're like 10 and then show it to them.
Be like, 10 years ago, these guys were, I was big fans of these
They're all
guys.
Dead now.
They're all dead
but
now.
These guys
they
did.
They wished you a happy christening when you were a wee bab. If you want to buy some sick and cool merch, like this hoodie, this t-shirt's no longer available. This t-shirt, I also think, is
no longer available.
This is also no longer
available.
But that
hoodie is.
This hoodie is. You can buy a hoodie, but the t-shirts that we're currently wearing, you can't. And also, I cut my
t-shirt. You cut yours up.
Yeah, I made it into a tank top because I have too many t-shirts. You can go to triplejumpshop.com to check out merch. And there is some new merch coming soon. I've got them on my desk. I'm very excited about them.
They're very cool.
Why not go to @triplejumpshop on Twitter to find out when the merch is being released. We have Instagram, me and Peter do. It's @thatpeterAustin and @scrambledashton. I think I have enough sleep tonight because my brain is not working today.
Yeah.
In case you haven't noticed, I can't speak or read.
If you want to see pictures or stories of Ashton going,
if you want to find out how I cut this top up / see any more like impulsive moments, just follow me on Instagram and watch my story every now and then.
Did you do the story of you cutting the top up?
Yeah,
George. Oh, I've not seen that. I don't check Instagram often enough.
I wondered if you had seen it, but I know that your lovely wife watches my Instagram stories because sometimes she replies to them. So you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter, and you can follow Ben on just Twitter @confused_dude. You should take over the rest, Peter. I can't speak today.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Do you want to know what we're doing on the channel all the time?
Yeah.
We do lists every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We do streams every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and Friday, the Thursday being the joint stream on YouTube.
Blaze it.
Twitch every other day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. We do Worst Games Ever. It's a fortnightly show. It's Friday for patrons of a certain tier and Sunday for everyone else. Also, Weirdest Games Ever is monthly. You get a whole week early on Patreon. The podcast is every Saturday and we do shows all the bloody time. It's gone back to saying one every other week.
I don't know why. I changed the template, but it's gone back.
Please leave us a review on iTunes. A 5-star review would be very helpful. It helps. Something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. We've got all sorts of things out on the channel this week, haven't we, Ashton?
We have. It's the Worst Games Ever week. The boys played a game called Troll and I, which I've never heard of / seen. Any good?
I had heard of it vaguely and just seen kind of the box art. And then just before we played the game, I had to record a voiceover, Worst Games of 2017 or whatever it was. And then I played it almost immediately after on Worst Games Ever. It was rubbish.
bad game. So that's coming out on Sunday, like Peter said, but it's on Friday. So if you're a patron, it's already on Patreon. But go check it out if you've not already watched it. It was on there last night.
Yeah.
James has been writing and editing a journalistic piece?
Yeah, like an essay video.
An essay video on how big is too big. We talked about this last week, but it's actually going out this week now.
Mm-hmm.
The launch games for the 3DS went out last week instead. So if you've not already seen that, check that out. But that's coming out. It should be out now, actually. It was coming out on Friday. So
yeah, it's in relation to Starfield. It's, you know, how big is too big in terms of 1,000 planets? Is that maybe too big?
Todd.
Calm
Todd,
down.
Please.
It just works.
I only have so much time. Yeah. When is that coming out? Is that this year?
Is it this year? We should know, but I don't think so.
I don't know.
Because I also looked up what else is coming out this year, and I don't think that was on there.
No, I thought it might be this year, or maybe it's early next year.
Early next year. It's fairly soon, I think, but I think it's early next year. I'll carry on.
Yeah, it says 2023.
Okay, 2023. And maybe we don't even have a quarter for that yet, but I think it's next year sometime.
Yeah.
And also, we should say thank you very much indeed for helping us raise over $5,000 for the Trevor Project.
Mm.
We raised money all of last week on our streams for the Trevor Project in memory of Philip Reed, who we've talked about a lot on recent content, our writer who we sadly lost a couple of weeks ago. And we've sort of continued to drop it into bits of videos and streams and stuff recently. And the money is still going up, even though we're not actively doing like fundraising streams, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And we now have over $5,000. That's at time of recording. By the time we release this, it'll be even more, I'm sure.
We left off the streams last week with about 4,200 potentially. Mm-hmm. And since then, like I said, we've not mentioned it. We've managed to raise over £5,000of dollars. So thank you so much for everyone who's donated. It's going to a really good charity in honor of a really good man.
Mm.
So thank you guys so much for helping us raise that much money. Like I said, it's open, probably going to leave it open for the rest of the month, potentially.
Yeah.
And for as long as I think we want to. But obviously, we'll let people know when we're closing it. But yeah, thank you guys so much for helping us raise this much money. It's really brilliant. Amazing. I think that's the most money we've raised for a campaign.
I think so, yeah. Before. I think we've come... We've done thousands before. I think like fairly early on, we did a pretty successful one. But yeah, I think that's got to be the biggest fundraiser we've ever done. So that's amazing. And all in memory of Philip. So brilliant.
Hmm.
So there's just enough time in this podcast, the duration of which changes every single week. But there is just enough time for Ashton to remind us of today's sponsor.
Coming this Christmas, you've better bloody hope you haven't been annoyed, boy and or girl and or other, because it's coming soon, 2-point Krampus.
Oh no, he's going to get you.
He's going to get you. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. And he's going to get you.
He's going to eat you.
He's going to eat you.
For his dinner.
Yes.
His Christmas dinner.
Yes. Pickled human.
Mm.
My favourite.
Thanks, everyone. And thank you, Ashton.
Thank you, Peter.
For being here, because if not... Imagine if we'd not hired you. I'd have been doing this on my own.
Or with James Jenkins.
Oh,
gross.
Can't think of anything worse. or Sam Driver, possibly.
Yes.
But he's a little bit too sexy, and I would struggle to concentrate.
Especially with his pink hair. Yeah. He's definitely a little bit too sexy now.
So that also would have been bad.
Yeah.
Good. Right, we'll leave it there. thank you, everyone. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.